sees in reaction to Carter's latest moves, but Wall Street worries despite yesterday's mighty jump. Two Soviet cosmonauts return to Earth. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. A stellar performance by the dollar this morning in overseas markets in an ongoing and dazzling reaction to yesterday's moves by President Carter to bolster the American currency. The dollar closed up more than 7 yen in Tokyo and opened higher on most of the European exchanges. Up in Frankfurt, Zurich, Paris, and Milan, fluctuating in London around 2 cents below yesterday's close. The price of gold, which fell more than $17 an ounce in London yesterday, is now selling there around $222 and $219 in Zurich, both figures below yesterday's close. And Tom Fenton reports from Paris that the money managers, as well as the buyers and the sellers, are enthusiastic.
Even hard-nosed Swiss bankers, the so-called gnomes of Zurich, have applauded. A West German central bank official predicted, like the Swiss, that the support measures, which were worked out in secret between the countries involved, will bring about not only a temporary stabilization of the dollar, but a permanent one. The usually hypercritical French were equally positive. Prime Minister Barr, a conservative economist of the old school, called the Carter measures courageous. European bankers have also welcomed the Carter package, although some added a characteristic note of caution. They emphasized that there must be a follow-through of continuing and strong American action to support the dollar in order to reestablish faith in its long-term value. One very important benefit of the measures may be to head off the substantial price increase that oil-exporting countries were expected to demand at their mid-December meeting. The expected increase in the world price of oil is now likely to be more modest, and that in turn will further help the dollar. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Paris.
Mr. Carter's moves to help the dollar had a spectacular response yesterday on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average roared upward on heavy volume, closing with a gain of 35 and a third points, an all-time record for one day's trading. Other leading market indicators also registered record-breaking gains. Even so, as we hear from Mitchell Krause, there are some nagging doubts.
Will the euphoria continue? That's the biggest question for today in the American money and stock markets. There are fears that once the reality of the long-term impact of significantly higher interest rates sinks in, caution will return to Wall Street. The problem is the effect of the higher interest rates will probably last a lot longer than the current turmoil in the dollar and gold markets. Higher interest rates do at least three things. First, they raise the cost of borrowing, and this raises the cost to home buyers as well as businessmen who want to expand. Second, they attract money away from stocks because the higher interest paid by bonds and treasury bills makes them look like better investments than stocks. And third, those higher interest rates slow economic growth, which some economists say is necessary to curb inflation, but which can also cause a recession and increase unemployment. Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.
The Labor Department reports this morning on what wholesale prices did in October. Almost certainly they'll show another hefty increase, perhaps even larger than the 0.9% jump in September. And that, of course, means higher retail prices later on.
Roosevelt, Roosevelt, where savings plans are all high rate, and courtesy is always great at Roosevelt Savings Bank. Roosevelt, Roosevelt, where loans are always low cost too, to help us live well, me and you, at Roosevelt Savings Bank. Roosevelt Savings Bank.
And now Roosevelt depositors can have a checking account that's absolutely free. With your Roosevelt free checking account, you get free checks, free monthly maintenance, a free monthly statement, and you can write as many checks as you want. And this is the time to open your 79 Roosevelt Christmas Hanukkah Club, and for a more generous shopping season, choose weekly payments, $1 to $20, have from $50 to $1,000 next year to help you spread more joy, and your club earns a top rate 5.25% a year dividend as a bonus.
To help us live well, me and you, it's Roosevelt Savings Bank.
Member FDIC.
The focus of discussions on an Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty shifts this morning from Washington to New York, where Secretary of State Vance is meeting with Menachem Begin. The Israeli Prime Minister is here to receive the New York City Council of Churches Family of Man Award tonight. After that, he'll go to Los Angeles, then he'll pay an official visit to Canada. CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb reports that Secretary Vance has been given advance word from Foreign Minister Moshe Dayan about what the Prime Minister plans to say.
Dayan has warned Vance that when he confers with Prime Minister Begin in New York today, he's going to get an earful about money, specifically an Israeli request for a special American fund to finance the military withdrawal from the Sinai. Estimates run between $2 to $4 billion, and the Israelis think it is consistent with the spirit of the Camp David Accords that the U.S. foot the bill. The administration is increasingly irritated with Israeli policy on West Bank settlements, and all the more so now on this implied threat to hold up the peace treaty until this money question is resolved. This is all reminiscent of an earlier crisis in U.S.-Israeli relations when, back in September 1975, the Israelis agreed to a partial withdrawal in the Sinai, but only after then-Secretary of State Kissinger promised large-scale military and economic aid to Israel, as well as the closest possible diplomatic coordination, a promise the Israelis feel has been seriously diluted by the Carter administration. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
The Arab Summit Conference is opening today in Baghdad, and we'll get the story there from Bob McNamara.
Today, kings and presidents, the leaders of 21 Arab nations, and officials of the Palestine Liberation Organization are arriving in Baghdad. Later today, they will begin what has come to be called the anti-Sadat, anti-Camp David Summit. Egypt, of course, has not been invited. President Sadat, the only major Arab figure, staying away from here. For the last 4 days, Arab foreign ministers have been working here trying to write an agenda for the summit, but they failed to agree on most key issues. While all the Arab participants concluded that the Camp David Accords will not lead to a lasting Middle East peace, there were arguments over whether President Sadat should be punished for seeking a peace agreement with Israel. Radical Arab states such as Syria and Iraq were demanding that all Arab nations agree to sever economic and political ties to Egypt. But moderates led by Saudi Arabia argued that Sadat should not be isolated, thus causing a deeper split in the already divided Arab ranks. A proposal to send Iraqi troops to strengthen Syrian forces on the Golan Heights was discounted by several delegations as being unrealistic, a move that might provoke more war with Israel, something neither Syria nor the Arab world can afford right now or in the immediate future. Bob McNamara, CBS News, Baghdad.
In Beirut today, the home of Lebanon's foreign and defense minister Fuad Boutros came under attack by a group of armed men. Two people are said to have been killed, four wounded. Boutros reportedly escaped unharmed. Officials say the assailants were loyal to a right-wing rebel army officer who was killed yesterday while trying to resist arrest.
8 minutes after 8 at News Radio 88 WCBS.
Tonight on Channel 7 at 7:30, David Doyle and Rich Little join host Peter Marshall and Paul Lynde for a game of tic-tac-toe that's anything but square. That's Hollywood Squares, 7:30 tonight on Channel 7.
At the WCBS Weather Center, Bob Harris continues with nice weather for us. We write him a note and thank him. Mostly sunny, hazy, and mild today. Look for a high about 64 degrees. Generally clear tonight. The overnight low in New York, 38 to 45. Friday, partly sunny, breezy, slightly cooler, 56 to 59 tomorrow. There might be locally dense ground fog tomorrow night. Saturday, mostly cloudy in the 50s. Varying clouds and sun on Sunday. 52 degrees Fahrenheit at WCBS, 9 after 8.
President Carter this morning commences a brief but strenuous campaign tour 5 days before the November elections. We'll hear about it from CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint.
It's the last political swing for the president of this off-year election campaign, and White House aides are calling it a get-out-the-vote effort. But by that, they really mean get-out-the-Democratic vote. As Press Secretary Jody Powell candidly explains, in the primaries, a discouraging percentage of voters stayed home, mainly blue-collar workers and labor union members, and that's not good for the president's own party. So during his stump speaking in behalf of the Democratic candidates in six states during the next 2 days, Mr. Carter hopes to persuade more people to participate in the belief that the so-called special interests will thus have less influence and more Democrats will win their races with Republicans. Powell was cagey in discussing next Tuesday's outcome, claiming that in off-year elections, the party in the White House usually loses some seats in Congress. but ask if he would decline the credit for the president if the Democrats made some unexpected gains, Powell smilingly made it clear he would not give up that privilege. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
Mr. Carter campaigns first today in New York, where he'll appear at a rally in Wall Street and attend a luncheon for Governor Hugh Carey. Later on, he'll go to Michigan and spend the night in Chicago. Tomorrow, on to California, Oregon, and Minnesota, returning to Washington tomorrow night.
From the fabrics in your automobile, to your household carpeting, to your wall coverings, to most any fabric you live with, Collins and Aikman is always a step ahead. We were a step ahead when we worked with the automotive industry to produce beautiful and innovative fabrics. From floor carpeting to the headliner inside the roof, fabrics that install easily and economically. Collins and Aikman was a step ahead with plush carpeting for your bathroom. We also gave you coordinated accessories in a wide range of decorator colors and put it all in attractive packages. We were a step ahead with wall cover, a product you apply to rough walls like cinder block or stucco. It provides a smooth base that you can cover quickly and easily with our wide selection of wall covering. Collins & Aikman is always a step ahead in producing products for the apparel, home furnishings, and industrial markets. Collins & Aikman, always a step ahead.
Two Soviet cosmonauts are back on Earth this morning after a record-breaking journey in space. Bernard Redmond reports from Moscow.
The cosmonauts, 36-year-old Commander Vladimir Kovalyanov and 38-year-old flight engineer Alexander Ivanchenko, made a soft landing in Kazakhstan, Central Asia. The Soviet news agency TASS said they had withstood the long, weightless flight well. It was the longest space flight in history. The two men broke the previous space endurance record of 96 days set by two other Soviet cosmonauts. The American record is 84 days set 4 years ago by a Skylab crew. Kovalyanov and Ivanchenko also logged enough time to put the Soviet Union ahead of an American record of 937 total man days in space. Apart from the prestige benefits reaped by the Kremlin, the flight produced scientific and technical information highly prized by Soviet space experts. The cosmonauts walked in space, received visitors in the Salyut 6 station, and carried out biological and medical experiments. Bernard Redmond, CBS News, Moscow.
The strike that has kept musicians away from the Kennedy Performing Arts Center in Washington since October 15th has ended. Management says it has reached agreement with the musicians' union on the key issue of job tenure. Here in New York, publishers of the Times and the Daily News are still negotiating with the truck drivers and three other striking unions. They reached a tentative agreement yesterday with the pressmen's union.
Do not be surprised to hear me praising the virtues of the Italian wine, Corvo. After all, we have been drinking wine for many centuries. I first tasted Corvo in my home village as a young man. I knew immediately that Corvo was a wine of noble birth and special mystique. Since then, as I traveled Europe, I have enjoyed Corvo in the finest restaurants in Switzerland, Vienna, London, and of course Rome, as so many others have enjoyed Corvo throughout the continent since 1824. That was when the Duke of Salaparuta made the first bottling of Corvo on his estate near Palermo. Corvo white is crisp and fresh. Corvo red, hearty and robust. So do not be surprised that I enjoy Italian wine. Corvo is more than just another wine. It is the famous wine of Europe, and now available in America's finest restaurants and homes. Imported by Paterno Imports Limited, Chicago. Importers of the world's finest wines.
Thursday at WCBS News Radio 88, the second day of November, 53 degrees heading up into the 60s, another sunny, mild day. 14 after 8, good morning, I'm Jim Donnelly.
Good morning, I'm Lou Adler. Among the stories we're watching this Thursday morning, the New York Times and the Daily News are preparing to resume publication this weekend, but the tentative contract agreement they reached yesterday with the striking pressmen's union does not assure the newspapers will be able to put out their planned Sunday edition.